From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Daniel 11, verse 32, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." For the past 2 months, we've been talking about high impact living. And really tonight, I want you to ask yourself one more time, am I a high impact Christian? I'm not talking about impact as the world sees it, but spiritual impact. God had elevated Daniel to a position of far-reaching impact, and we know his influence affected 4 different kings, the entire kingdom, Babylon, and it's echoed down through the ages, affected us 2,500 years later, and is still, this man is still a role model, an example to use when it comes to looking back in Scripture at people that made a difference. Despite the adversity, we've seen and studied all that. We saw God always had a plan and a purpose to glorify himself and to further his kingdom. I think really sometimes we look at these Bible examples and people that have been used of God and put them in a different category and think, I'll never be there. I won't be used of God that way. Not understanding that no Christian is exempt from God's desire or God's command. And I truly believe that every Christian, no matter where they're at, what they're doing, ought to have an impact on the world around them, the people around them. When we're talking about impact, we're talking about influencing others for good. We're talking about positively changing those around us. So really, here's the question tonight. Is there even a desire? Normal living is so normal, many don't even have a desire to make an impact. Quite satisfied. The average person is quite satisfied just to go through life and breathe and eat and die. When we're talking about an impact, we're not just talking about actions, but we're talking about through example, because most people that have had an impact on us, it was their example, really. A moment in time, we saw something that was done, heard something that was said, an action of kindness, some kind of sacrifice, and it was motivating. It was encouraging. Maybe you read a book, missionary biography. The example that was presented was a blessing and a help and a source of encouragement. But here's the problem. I think we look at guys like Moody and Spurgeon and C.T. Studd and William Booth and whoever in the Bible, to Moses or Joseph, and we truly just think there's no way. We look at Rick Martin or Brother Ramos or someone with a large ministry and say, I'm thankful that I'm not in that category because I don't have that kind of responsibility. So I can just kind of stay invisible. God's not really expecting a whole lot out of me. I don't have a position. Many people in church, and I know in this church it's different because of all the ministries and responsibilities, but the average church has the majority of their membership that's not even in leadership or in ministry. So that's even a greater excuse that God just doesn't expect much out of me, and that's a lie of the devil. For every big name that we find in the Bible, we find people, average, ordinary, normal people, from Lydia to Dorcas, the little maid, to the widow women, several of them, Old and New Testament, that were used of God, had a great impact just because they were willing and usable. And let me say this in introduction, we've got to throw out some of our false philosophies. Impact is not determined by the following. Location doesn't determine your impact. Now, working with college students, here's what I see. Most college students have in their head, as soon as I go to the Philippines, as soon as I get into that ministry, and they think that a change of location or a flight on a plane or a move to a different city or being transplanted to a different ministry, or suddenly that I find myself across the border in Mexico, I'm going to be a high-impact Christian. No trip across the river, no airplane seat is magically going to transform you into something or someone that you're not right now. And if Daniel was in Babylon, now you know Babylon was Satan's seat. Anytime you find Babylon in the Bible, this is where Satan worked and resided. This was his capital. And if Daniel could be of great influence in Babylon. Austin is no excuse. Capital City is no excuse. Working with the kids is no excuse. Whatever ministry God has given us, a change of location is not going to make us a Christian with higher impact. Talent is not going to make you a Christian of higher impact. Oh, we like to use the fact, I can't sing, I can't play the piano, can't play the trumpet, don't have any musical ability, don't have any natural ability. You know what's interesting in our study through Daniel? You don't find any special talent in this man. The gift of knowledge and gift of understanding was simply Daniel praying for weeks at a time, all through the night, fasting, and God supernaturally revealing to him because of his prayer life. But Daniel had no special talent or ability. Our impact isn't dependent upon our circumstances. Oh, how we like to think that if life was a little bit more perfect, if I wasn't dealing with all these activities and the busyness, and I got five kids, and I'm working two jobs, and my boss is very demanding, and I'm required a lot of overtime, and I'm very tired, and if I weren't sick, and we have all these excuses in life, why our impact is minimal. Now, I don't care what kind of prefabricated excuse you come up with to offer God, it's not acceptable to him. Literally, if it's not our personality, if it's not our marriage situation, if it's not all of our excess responsibilities and lack of time, we're going to find some reason. God, you've got to understand right now, at this point in my life, there's just no way for me to have an impact on anyone because I'm maxed. And we forget our very purpose for living. I remember years ago, the message that was preached right here behind this pulpit, don't trade your purpose for your trade. And how many Christians have done that? Become so occupied with life, they forget their purpose. For those of you that are single, marital status isn't going to increase your impact on those around you. How many single people say, well, I wish I could be used to God. Can't be used to God until I get married. And here's what I've seen, the opposite effect. People that were being used to God get in a marriage situation and suddenly they can't find 5 minutes in a week. They jump out of every ministry and every responsibility and can't show up for prayer. And Daniel was not married and had a great impact. His income did not change or alter his impact. If you take a look at Daniel, now listen, he was elevating his position, but every time a new king stepped in, he'd lose his position, his power, and his authority, and have to regain that status. But you know when Daniel made an impact? When he was a no one. With Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar having the feast, and there's writing on the wall. They got a call for a man, go through the phone book, send out the FBI, figure out where he lives, because he's no longer in the palace. He no longer has a position. And in each case, it wasn't his financial status. It wasn't his position. Here's what young people tend to think, and even church members tend to think. You know, if I was in charge of that ministry, my impact would be greater. And here's what I want you to see tonight. None of those excuses that we use are valid. We're looking and thinking on the worldly terms how a company, how a business, how a CEO, how an executive, how an investor, how those people would think of status, ability, or impact. I'm talking about on a spiritual level. Aren't you glad that God doesn't need anything the world needs in order to use you and for you to have an impact, an eternal impact on the souls of men? Boy, I'm so grateful it doesn't require talent. Here's what's amazing. You know, we call Daniel a prophet, but in actuality, we don't see in Scripture that he was a priest or even that he had a prophetic call like Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel. He was a politician who spent a lot of time on his knees, and God gave him some direct prophecy. Go back with me to Daniel chapter 1. Let's review for a moment those that he had an impact on. Daniel 1:8. Look what it says. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Verse 12, when he talks, verse 11 mentions the other three. Verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now here's what we see initially, Daniel's influence and his impact with his peers. But if you see these three boys and the stand that they took and their refusal to bow in chapter 3, I think it all comes back to Daniel, because Daniel was the one that was preferred and he was the one that was encouraging these three to stand. The chapter is addressed to him. The favor was shown upon him. The leader of the group was Daniel. And everyone in here ought to be having some kind of spiritual impact on others, helping them stand. Is your spiritual presence weakening someone else? You know how many Christians are weakening the faith and the convictions and the standards and the holiness found in other Christians? If you're going to be someone of high impact, you ought to be strengthening those around you, not weakening them. You shouldn't be leading them to sin, but leading them to stand. And I have no doubt, you read this chapter, you find out Daniel was the one that was leading, and as a result, we see a strong bunch. But I wonder what would have happened had Daniel not been there. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 17. When the king seeks for someone in the kingdom to reveal his dream, Daniel's brought. Look what it says. When Arioch comes and knocks on his door and lets him know, hey, I'm going to have to kill you, Daniel, because you're one of the king's wise men. Verse 17, then Daniel went to his house. And what did he do? He made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. They would desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know what he did? He not only helped his friends to stand, he helped his friend to seek God in prayer. So when he gets on his knees, do you see the impact of Daniel and his peers? He's leading them and pressuring them and guiding them to participate in spiritual activities. I wonder how many of you in this auditorium can say, I've brought people that normally don't participate, I've brought those people into prayer and encouraged them. Not just on a Sunday, but on a Monday. That was Daniel. All of his influence, all of his impact was positive. Now let me ask you this. No Christian, no born-again child of God should have a negative impact on another Christian. I wonder how many times Christians at a restaurant have discouraged someone else from praying or even leaving it track. You want to make sure you're never the one that's decreasing the impact of another Christian. And Daniel, here's what you see constantly. He was influencing his peers to do right, to stand up, and to pray. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 49. Here's a man of impact. Then Daniel requested of the king and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sent the king of the gate. So after Daniel revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he was given a position of honor, made second in the kingdom. But a man of impact, you know what he does? He helps others succeed. Isn't it nice when people share their success? Are you helping others succeed? You know, it's a little strange, this philosophy of Christians being envious of others that are succeeding or excelling, or those that have a better income or a nicer house or a newer car. You want to have an impact, you need to be investing in others and helping them succeed. And that's what Daniel did. As soon as he was given this position, he went straight to the king and said, hey, I got three buddies here. They're really sharp. They're on the ball. They're just about as wise as I am. If you do me a favor, you got three empty spots here. These guys would not only be adequate, they would be superior to anybody else that would fill that position. He said, if you think that's a wise decision, he said, absolutely, I do. Okay, bring them in. They need to fill out an application. No, they got the job. That's high impact living, helping others to succeed. Look at his influence and impact on kings. We've preached on each one of these texts, but we'll review quickly here for just a moment. Daniel chapter 4, one of my favorite texts in all the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of the world's greatest empire, suddenly a follower of God. He gives his testimony. Daniel had already been living in Babylon for 35 years. Talking to this man about God and his soul, Nebuchadnezzar was just lifted up in pride. But here he tells us his moment of salvation. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, once again, let me remind you, God is not letting a lost king write a chapter of the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Can you imagine this international decree that Nebuchadnezzar, this wicked, wicked ruler, now suddenly a follower of Jehovah God, is writing to all nations. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace, and I saw a dream which made me afraid. Look what it says, verse 8, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And you know the rest of the chapter. Daniel tells him what's going to befall him if he doesn't humble himself, and he didn't. God had to humble him. And in the end, Nebuchadnezzar lifts up his eyes in verse 30, 34 into heaven and blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that lived forever. You know what you see? Daniel impacting the authority in his life. And Christians, if our Christianity doesn't extend past our house and past our church and past 1300 Red Street, and if it doesn't extend to the place where we work, and you're not going to be able to win your boss in a day or in a month. It took Daniel 35 years with a lot of help from God, supernatural acts, divine providence to lead this man to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at some point, you ought to have an impact in your place of business. If you've been in that place of business for 10 years and have had no spiritual impact, that's really not God's will for your life, because he has a purpose for you. You are the man for that place. You are the missionary at the moment. You are his voice in that company. And God may be patient for a month or a few months, but to think that there are Christians that sit in a company or in a place of business, and for years, those in the next cubicle, those in the next office, those that they meet and greet every day don't even know they're a born-again child of God. Or because of some kind of behavior, they can't even tell others they're a child of God. Daniel, over the course of his life, those 70, 80 years that he spent in Babylon had influenced four different kings to lift up their voices and say, Daniel's God is a God above all gods. And Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest of them all, became a follower of God. Although we don't see evidence that Darius or Cyrus or Belshazzar ever got saved, there was still an impact there and a closeness. I love the way Darius loved Daniel. Look what Darius said in chapter 6, verse 25. Both of these men loved Daniel and wrote international decrees. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages. You mean to tell me that God's not concerned about every man under the planet? God used two of the most wicked men on the planet to write international decrees. All people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied in you. I make a decree. What is your decree, Darius? That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. That's an impact. That's an impact. Christians, remind yourself, this man was not a pastor, a priest, and when we say a prophet in the sense that God spoke directly to him and revealed dreams, but not a prophet in his calling. a captive in his calling, a missionary placed by God with a little bit of backbone that said, wherever I'm sent, I'm going to be a voice. And that made him of great impact. So as we finish the series, I want to stir you one last time and ask you one last time, do you care that God has given you 50 or 60 or 70 years on this planet and that you've already lived a great part of it, possibly with no impact, possibly with little impact? And I'm not talking about the way the world speaks of impact and doing charitable deeds. And I'm glad that you gave a $20 bill to that guy standing on the corner so he could buy some more booze. And I'm thankful that you're a good citizen and you help charitable organizations. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking you in time and eternity that when you look at the eternal and you get your priorities in order and you say the kingdom of God is forever, I'm going to live on this planet for a few years, a few decades, but at some point, what am I going to have that is eternal? To think that we as Christians aren't concerned about that is hard to digest, difficult to understand. So he took all these excuses of what he didn't have and the things that he was suffering and the obstacles, he put them to one side and had great impact. Now here's what I want to do. I want to mention two things tonight. These are the two most difficult parts, responsibilities, commands to fulfill in Christianity, yet they're the two most basic, and they're the only two ways we have any impact at all on a lost and dying world. Look at our text, Daniel 11:32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that what? Do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You want to know how to be a Christian of high impact? You must be strong. It hasn't changed because 2,500 years have passed. It hasn't changed because of our society, because of our culture. I doubt we're living in a culture any worse or any more wicked than Babylon. I doubt we have a king any more wicked than Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, or Cyrus. But God said, here's the ingredients to having an impact on a wicked culture. The people that do know their God, and too many know church and don't know God. Too many know the doctrine of the Baptist or the doctrine of the Bible, don't know God. Unreal how few Christians know God, because someone can come and talk to me about another person, another pastor, a politician, or a missionary, and I can know about that person. But until I personally spend extended time, there's no way to know. Now, speaking of strength, we understand our physical strength is weak, as the songwriter wrote, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. But speaking of doing exploits, that's talking about above and beyond the ordinary. That's what I would like to do with my life. Doesn't it seem overly simplistic to say, in order to be strong and do exploits, God says, all you have to do is know me. Did you know your impact on society is revealing of your knowledge of God? And if you have no impact, it is because you have no relationship. Because when you draw close to God, here's what you see in the life of Daniel, a man of prayer. And it's not Daniel 6 and the three times. That's the text that everyone goes to. Read the book of Daniel, where we constantly find this man is on his knees and on his face. And there's constant communion. There is a strong knowledge of God. And when there's that kind of friendship, listen, it doesn't matter what biography you read or what Bible character you study or who you see in today's present society that has great impact on the world around them. You'll find one common denominator, and it's not their talent, and it's not their birthplace, and then it's not their upbringing, and it's not their church. It's not that they went to the same Bible college. Not that they had the same advantages. You'll find one simple ingredient that they all share. That's a knowledge of God. They know God. Isn't it amazing? The thing that we consider the most basic, God says, I want you to have an impact. But you can't do that until you know me. We do understand that in the flesh, there is no way to have a spiritual impact. There's no way that we can. I mean, preaching makes no sense. So I want you to go and get some things together and write some notes down and get some verse and then stand up here and then change lives. Right. You got a better idea? Nope. It was God's idea. No, it was God's idea. God said, I have a Holy Spirit and he's going to speak through my word and I'll do the work. You take care of the little things and I'll take care of the big things. To think that we are so independent that we rush our lives and our very beings and we scramble from here to there and we run from this ministry to this job and back home and tell God, you know, God, today I've got about 18 minutes that I'm going to spend with you. I'm not really going to be focused and I'm not really going to enjoy the Bible reading or anything like that, but I'm going to get through it and I'm going to fulfill my obligation and I'm going to make the best that I can of today. And God says, those that know me shall be strong and do exploits. Today's Christianity is a revelation of how few people know him. There's not many exploits. We're talking about exploits. We're not talking about parting the Red Sea or watching the walls of Jericho come down. Not those kind of exploits. You know what I'm talking about. Lives being changed, people being strengthened, souls being saved. Not many Christians are strong. Not many are doing exploits. And here's what we got to understand. It starts out with be and then do. Our sense of worth is normally based on these three words. Performance, position, and possession. That's what we think impact comes from. You know how much we get our sense of being from name brands? So if we have a Gucci watch, we're wearing everyone else's name except our own. Calvin Klein jeans, Florsheim shoes. Then we think we have a sense of being because I'm keeping up with the rest of the people in my office. So I'm having an impact based on the name brands of the clothing. You know how many ladies get their sense of worth by the value of their purse? I'm not against those things. I just hope you're not drawing your sense of value or personal worth from some kind of possession or some kind of performance. Here's what we have. We have people now that have talent and they are convinced that they're having an impact on people because of my amazing voice, my skills on the piano. How many realize that any musical ability that you have is of no impact at all without the Holy Spirit involved? And here's Daniel with nothing, a captive. How is he going to do exploits in the kingdom of Babylon? How is he going to gain rank and influence and ultimately direct Nebuchadnezzar to God in these circumstances? Because God said, those that know me shall be strong and do exploits. It's not oversimplification. This is Bible. And Christian, if we'd understand that our impact is a direct revelation or walk with God. Look what he says. Go with me to Daniel 9:3. And look back there at chapter 1 for just a moment. We read it in opening 1 verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love. So who's the one that's going to have to work and change hearts? Who's the one that's going to have an impact? God. So you better get to know God. You know, it's interesting living in Mexico, and it's becoming this way anywhere in the world, but especially in Mexico, where it's not what you have, it's who you know, and you got to make friends with the right people. When we went to Mexico, and we didn't have a phone line, and they said in this neighborhood, there are no extra phone lines. You can get on the list, maybe get a phone the next year or two, maybe five. we'll have to see. That's the way things work in Mexico. We lived in a very nice neighborhood. And they said, just all the phone lines are used. And so I went and talked to my owner, who was a very important man in the city. He said, you want a phone? I said, yes. He said, I know some people. He said, buy me two bottles of this certain wine, and you'll have your phone line. I said, you know what? I can do a lot of things. I can't give you wine. I just can't buy you wine. Here's what he said. He said, every colony, every area, neighborhood, has an emergency line. They keep it free, use it for government use. I'll get you that line. He said, now you got to understand, it's not like it's a private line, but it's a phone line. And then once a free line comes open, we'll give it to you. I said, give me the line. So he went down, talked to his friend at the phone company, and they gave me the emergency line. You know why we got a phone line within a matter of weeks moving into Mexico? Connections to who you know. God says, it's not what you know. It's not what you have. It's not where you were educated. Those that know me shall be strong and do exploits. And when he moved in and Daniel knew God and God knew Daniel, God said, Daniel, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to move you right up the ladder. And God brought Daniel into favor and tender love. And they were so close when this king said, I had a dream and I don't want you to give me the interpretation. I want you to give me the dream because I forgot it. Daniel was so close to God, he said, God, can you help me on this one? God said, I certainly can. Here's the dream, and here's the meaning. That's because he knew his God, not just about his God. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9, and we'll be done. So in order to be a Christian of high impact, God says, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Go with me to Daniel 12:3. Look what it says. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now go with me back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 19. Look at the words of Daniel. This is a prayer of Daniel. Verse 19, Daniel's still praying when he says, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I am come to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. You know what happens when you know God? You start to live with a burden. Now, here's how we become high-impact Christians. Number one, we focus on knowing God. And number two, we live every day with a burden. You know, we make Christianity 87 different things. And we're trying to juggle this and do that. You know, you can sum up all of Daniel in these two phrases. Knowing God and living with a burden. You know why he impacted four different kings? Babylon, the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Because when you read the book of Daniel, the impact it's had on my life over the past 2 months of reading it is seeing every page, here is a man that is burdened for his people and burdened for this lost king and burdened for this new king and burdened for those that hate him and burdened for those that want him thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel lived with a burden, and most Christians can live decades and never carry the weight of a lost soul, a lost nation, a lost people. Daniel was living in Babylon. Consider their doom. Daniel was having these visions of the future, not just the end times, the tribulation, the Antichrist, His burden is overwhelming. We see at times he is speechless for hours. Before he reveals Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Belshazzar's dream, he pauses speechless about what God is going to do. And Christians, we become so cold about what's taking place around. They deserve that. They deserve judgment. They deserve God's wrath, is what the average Christian thinks. But a heart broken with compassion, I talked to Brother Sisson the other day. Started that church in the Philippines, runs 1,000 people. I said, Brother Sisson, just give me one word of advice before we hang up. He said, Adam, he said, it took me too long to learn this in the ministry. He said, I live with one thought when it comes to my people. Every week, every day, with every individual, I simply want to stir up in their hearts a burden for the lost. He said, it solves so many problems. Everything else is taken care of when a person lives with a burden. If you're not changing the destinies of the lost, you're not having any eternal impact. And you may work in a ministry. You may work clubs, junior church, nursery, prison, bus route. And you can go through all the motions. You can get here early. You can work late. You can give up family time. You can sacrifice years and important moments with your kids and give up a birthday party. You can do all that and say, look what I'm doing. I'm sacrificing for God. But in the end, not have any impact at all because none of it was done with a burden for reaching a lost man with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is no eternal impact. So we only have two questions tonight. Daniel. All the men in the Bible. We've thought bad of David. And we've thought bad of Moses. And we've thought evil of many Bible characters because we've seen the flaws that were recorded. Daniel wouldn't impact for two reasons. Knew God. He lived every day with that consuming passion to point someone else to God. And I don't want to be overly simplistic tonight, but here's my question. What kind of impact are you having in the world that God has placed you? That 3-mile area, those 85 people, has anyone been pointed to God? Can your kids, can your wife, and your friends say, that man knows God. We know the batting average of the baseball stars, the scoring average of the basketball stars, the words, all four verses to the hymn. Do you know God? And you live every day with a burden that says, I can't change much in society and I can't change the politics as they are, but I can change the destiny, the eternal destiny of this man, friend, neighbor, co-worker doomed to hell. That makes my life. And here's what I want to do. Those that turn, what's the verse saying? 12:3? Many to righteousness. That's my goal. I want to take as many with me as I can. Pointing them to God. Understanding the way to do that is one at a time. One individual, one co-worker, one family member, one at a time. In my life, folks, I could probably count on this hand people that I've seen truly live burdened every day. No position in the church. Brother Gear was just one of them. My son in the faith, Alex. Alex was a college student. Pastor, I want to go to Bible school. Why don't you just live with a burden right there at the university and reach the lost right there on your own mission field? 38 young people later, baptized and in church. Now he started church because he was a man, a student, no position, no talent, but got to know God and live with the burden. Had a psychologist. Pastor, how can I help? Let's reach the lost. Let's do it. Juan Manuel, to this day, holds Bible studies with the governor of Pachuca in his cabinet every Thursday night. You know why? He started taking people in that needed help. Started leading them to Christ. Marina, A nurse at a hospital said, "Pastor, I'm around a lot of dying people. Do you think they'd kick me out if I started witnessing to them before they died?" Marina, as an average, ordinary, common member, won dozens and dozens and is still winning dozens to Christ. No position, no special ability. Talking about average people know God and live with a burden. Are you willing to have an impact? Are you willing to say, "I'm just going to be what everyone else is"? That's not God's plan for your life.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.